Morning. Eventually we'll be going to Philippians chapter 4, just so you know, but Philippians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I tell you, I know of a man who had everything. He was wealthy, healthy, popular. He was praised by his peers. He was comfortable, he had a lot of friends, a lot of money, endless amount of money, big homes, traveled, could do anything he wanted more or less. That was his circumstance. That was his situation. You wouldn't think he would want for anything, but he took his own life. He wasn't satisfied. He ended up taking his own life. I know of another man who found contentment in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in calamities. What a contrast. A man who had everything according to the world's standards, but he wasn't content, versus a man who had nothing, nothing according to the world's standards. But their attitudes in the midst of their individual circumstances are like day and night. What I mean is the way they viewed their individual circumstances are like, or situations are as diverse as their own lives are, you know? And the one found contentment in the midst of infirmities and difficulties, while the other man was discontent. He wasn't satisfied with all that he had, even to the point of taking his own life. Well, you probably realize the man who learned to be content in every circumstance is the Apostle Paul. But the other one, rather than putting a name to that person, we could just say that's 21st century America. Because there's many people like that. They're never satisfied with their current level of income. They're never satisfied with their lives. They're never satisfied with anything. They're discontent, and they're always seeking something more, something more. We want something more. They lack contentment in their current circumstances. And this leads them to despair, and that's what happened to that man that took his own life. When a person's circumstance becomes less than comfortable, they get extremely agitated often, anxiety sets in, and then they actually start to demand satisfaction. Doesn't take long. You can turn on the TV and see that. That's 21st century America. You can see that even in our own homes. That's why you see people who get cars, new cars every 2 years, new spouses every 2 years, not content. They're discontent, always wanting something more. I want more, more, more. Well, the Apostle Paul, though, he learned the secret to being content. So look with me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." So he learned in whatever situation he was to be content. Well, what is contentment, though? Let's flesh this out a little bit. What is contentment? Any thoughts you have on that? What is contentment?
Yeah,
you're just being satisfied, right? Yeah, brother. So a feeling of calm, if you want to look this up in the dictionary, a feeling of calm, happiness, pleasure, satisfaction, just being satisfied. And then what does it mean to be discontent then? If he was content, what does it mean to be discontent? Displeasure, restlessness, disgruntled. You see that and you hear that many times in the news, disgruntled people, disgruntled employees, unhappiness. They're longing for better things. That's what somebody who's discontent. They're always wanting something more. They're lacking something and wanting something more. So even the man who took his own life, he seemed to have everything, but he was always looking for something more. He was wanting, he was lacking something in his own life. Well, consider then, for instance, two babies in the nursery. One, whining, crying, unhappy, right? And then you have another baby, calm as could be, rattle, smiling, goo-goo, gaga, right? I mean, just as happy as could be. You have the one whining, the one crying. There's one who's content, and there's one who is discontent. Or, for instance, if you're running down the road, and here you are, you're running down the road, and you have to stop at a light. And it's one of those lights that lasts for about 10 minutes. And no one ever goes across the whole 10 minutes you're sitting there, right? And one guy is sitting there at the light. He's jumping up and down, revving his gas, and thumping on the steering wheel. Can't wait for that light to change. And what's the other guy doing over? He'd look over at the other guy. He's sitting there singing Amazing Grace, right? Doesn't bother him at all to be sitting at that light. And he's content. So you kind of have the picture here of what it means to be content and discontent. Just a little picture in your mind. Well, Paul says, though, that he learned in whatever situation to be content. So even if he had wet and dirty diapers, he was going to be content. So if he was cold and naked, he was content. If he had to stop at every light from here to Indianapolis and wait 25 minutes at each individual light, he was going to be content. He was content in each and every circumstance. He learned to be content. And that's what he writes about, even in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." Or some translations actually say that he took pleasures in all these. He took pleasures in weaknesses and insults, and so on and so forth. Well, this is not an innate characteristic of a person. It's not something you're born with. Paul didn't seek to change his circumstances, though, but what he did is he learned to be content in each and every circumstance. And now you may say, though, what about his thorn in his side that he prayed about? He prayed to get rid of that. Well, but the difference is that he didn't sit idle and just complain about the thorn in his side. In the midst of the trial he was in the midst of that, he kept ministering. He kept going. He stayed in the game. He was content in the midst of the situation. Well, contentment is vital to the Christian life. It is vital. And the Bible does tell us that godliness with contentment is great gain, right? And the Lord himself tells us that we're to be content. "For I am with you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." In fact, in the epistle here to the Philippians, Paul tells the Philippians, he tells them, he says, "Brothers and sisters, do all things without complaining." So they're to be content. And he's commanded them to rejoice in the Lord. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say again, rejoice, right? And you can almost kind of hear him, "But Paul, how do I rejoice in the Lord always? But Paul, my life is full of hardships. How do I do, you know, everything, do everything without, you know, being anxious? How do I do that? How do I rejoice always if my life circumstances are not joyful? But Paul, my life is full of hardships and persecutions and calamities. How can I do all things without complaining? How can I rejoice in the Lord always in the midst of all these difficulties? How can I be anxious for nothing?" Well, Paul shares with them his secret. It's a secret that he learned.
He learned the secret to being contentment in each and every circumstance. Each and every situation, he learned the secret to being contentment. In weaknesses and hardships and persecutions, each one of these and calamities. And these are circumstances that bring a person, though, to the end of themselves. They're very difficult, each one of these. They're circumstances that drain us. They drain us physically. They drain us mentally and spiritually. But Paul learned to be content in the midst of each one of these. So consider, though, if I had a secret of staying strong and youthful, the whole world would want to hear that one, wouldn't they? Yeah, they'd all want to hear that. How can I stay strong and youthful? Well, I don't have that secret, obviously. Considering I myself have dealt with many challenges over the last year. So I don't have that. But even if I did hold that secret, the secret for staying youthful and strong doesn't have a broad application. It has a limited application to our life. Youthful strength is only profitable for a limited number of circumstances. But Paul wanted us to know the secret of contentment. And this is profitable for each and every circumstance in our life. Verse 12, if you look with me in Philippians verse 12. Verse 12 says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So he learned this secret. He calls it a secret. And he learned it. Well, where did he learn this? Well, he didn't learn it at school, did he? Our own schools and educational systems, they don't teach that. But instead, at our schools now, what do they teach at our schools? Self-fulfillment, right? Self-gratification, it's all about me. Well, Paul didn't learn at the feet of Gamaliel either, though. But he learned at the feet of Christ. Amen. That's where contentment is learned. Contentment is learned in the school of Christ. I'm in that school, and I'm sure you're in that school too. Remember when the Lord said that what he said to Ananias. He told Ananias to go in to get Paul and to baptize him, right? And he says there, he says, I'll show him, speaking of Paul, the Lord says, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name in Acts 9. And Paul learned the secret of contentment in the midst of many afflictions. So we don't learn the secret of contentment through one trial, but through many trials, many afflictions. It's kind of like a child learning a bike. I'm sure many of us have taught our kids to ride a bike, right? He just doesn't get on the bike one time and ride. We put them on and we give them a little shove and they ride a little ways, a couple feet, and then boom, they fall over, right? And then they get back up. We get them back on the bike again and we give them a little shove and they ride a little bit further and they fall over again. And then they do it again. And finally, though, they get it and they take off and they learn to ride the bike. But once he learns to ride the bike, once he learns how to do that, he puts what he's learned into practice. And that's what Paul did, and he wants us to do the same. He wants to put what we learn about Christian contentment into practice. And so Paul learned the secret of contentment. That's what the Bible says. He learned this through many circumstances, and Paul knew what it meant to be hungry and thirsty and cold and naked, persecutions and all these different things, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I call this Paul's resume. Every time I think of it, it's his resume. And it's not much of a resume for today's world. You wouldn't get a job based on this resume. But it is a little bit of his history. He says here, labors, he's speaking of himself, far more in imprisonments. He's had countless beatings. He's been often near death. 5 times he received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes. So he's gone through all these. He's beaten with rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, night and a day, adrift at the sea, on frequent journeys and dangers, danger from robbers, people, danger from Gentiles, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and so on and so forth. Toils, hardships, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food, cold, exposure. And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me, he says, of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? See, this is his resume. This is all these hardships throughout his whole life, his afflictions that he's had to experience. So Paul suffered much affliction. But the secret of contentment was revealed to him through all these hardships, all these circumstances. It's like a treasure chest being opened, in fact. You think of it, the treasure is revealed when the lid's open, right? So that which was concealed has now been revealed to Paul through many different circumstances. He learned the secret of contentment. Look with me in verse 13, Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So the secret to contentment in every single circumstance, that's it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're hard-pressed, but not crushed. So Paul can say, well, I'm bobbing on the sea for a day and a night, and it's not like a swimming pool over there. Big, huge 12-foot waves in the sea, Mediterranean Sea. Well, I'm bobbing on the sea a day and a night. I'm content. Shipwrecked, I'm content. Paul doesn't find contentment in the circumstances, but in Christ. That's where he finds contentment. So how can I do all things without complaining, he'd tell the Philippians? He'd say, find contentment in Christ. Or how can I be anxious for nothing? He would tell them to find strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or how can I rejoice in suffering and hardships? He'd say, rejoice in the Lord. That's what the verse says, right? Rejoice not in the circumstances. He says, rejoice in the Lord, not the circumstances. So when Paul was weak, then he was strong, right? That's the secret to contentment in every circumstance. Christ continues to strengthen us in every circumstance. Through Christ, who is strengthening me, he would say. The word here, the strengthen, actually is a continual act of strengthening in the way. So that's what Paul would say, if he were to write it a little differently here, he would say, through Christ, who is strengthening me, does continually strengthen me. It is by his, speaking of Jesus Christ, his constant and renewed strength that I am able to act in everything, by Christ's strength. So what is it not? It's by Christ's strength. So it's not the world's man up, right? That's what the world will tell you. Life's tough. Get tough, man up, right? No, that's not what it is. It's not pick yourself up by your bootstraps. No. No, it's not a self-enrichment course. You ever talk to anybody that goes to those? I have. Yeah, it's not that. That's a sad thing, isn't it? No, the secret's found in Christ.
Amen.
He's the one who enables us. He's the one who strengthens us. You know, it's the secret is a recognition of our inability. That's what it is. It's, you have to understand the secret here is what Paul learned. I think it is our inability, actually, our recognition of that to handle these situations. Mentally, physically and spiritually we're inept. The learned secret is a recognition of our own weakness and our need for Christ in every circumstance. And then that's why we cry out, and that's why we know that we can do all things only through Christ who enables us. He enables us. But faith is the conduit. But that's what Christ does. He enables us, doesn't he? We know that he's called the vine and we're the branches, and through him comes that strength that enables us. He infuses us with the strength for every circumstance, for every daily ministry. So through him we find the strength and the ability to complete every providential circumstance. And that's the thing, these are brought about providentially. That doesn't change that fact. But we go to Christ to find the strength. The contentment doesn't come from the current circumstances. Contentment actually comes in spite of the current circumstances or trials. Remember, Jesus said in John, he said that in me you'll have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. In the Gospel of John, he said that. 1633, I think. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So in the world, we will have trials and tribulations continually. So what's going to happen if we try to find contentment in the circumstances? While we're in this world, we're always going to have trials and tribulations. You'll never, ever be content, will you? But our Lord's told us, that's not where we're to find contentment, through Paul. So Paul was able to find contentment while being in prison, cold and hungry, shipwrecked, because he found contentment in Christ and not the circumstance. Satisfaction is found in the object of our faith, in Christ, right? That's where we find our satisfaction. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Trials make the promise sweet. This is, to me, a promise, and this is something I memorized a while back from William Cooper. Part of his poem says, "Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet. Lay me low and keep me there." So that's where we find our strength. The trials bring us to Christ. They bring us to his feet. They bring us to a needy, to the point of needing him, a point of humility. In 1 Samuel, we won't turn there for time's sake, but David also found many difficulties in his life, obviously, but also specifically when, remember, all the wives were taken away by the Amalekites, and he was almost going to be stoned by his own people. And in 1 Samuel 30, though, if you want to read it later, he does, in the end, they were going to stone him, and he was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, and because all the people were bitter in soul, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that's where we find our strength. We find strength in the Lord our God. Christ is the fountain of strength. He's a fountain of strength. He's sufficient in every circumstance. William Hendrickson, a 20th century Bible scholar, says of Christ, "The fountain never runs dry. No matter what may be the circumstances, we must come and refresh ourselves at the source or the fountain of strength." Every day, all day long, refreshing ourselves at the fountain of strength. That's what Christ is. He's our fountain of strength in every circumstance. So Paul can say, while he lived in the shadow of death, right? When he was in prison, that's what he was living under. He was living under the shadow of death. And he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm in prison, he would say. I may have had my head removed soon, but I don't allow my circumstances to squash my joy in the Lord. For my contentment, he would say, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's my all in all. So the Lord was with him, and the Lord strengthened him as he does us who have faith. And the Lord says we are to be content in him because he'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Richard Sibbes writes on this. He actually has one of the best things on this, we could say, that I looked up. The Art of Contentment, he wrote on. 17th century Puritan. But he does say that God changes our situations, but his steadfast love never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we understand these are brought about providentially by our sovereign God, but his steadfast love in the midst of each and every one of these circumstances never changes. So when our circumstances are overwhelming, when our bodies are weak, our ailments are overwhelming us, and we find no joy in living, then we can find contentment. Because Christ strengthens us. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we find our satisfaction in the Lord, not the circumstances. Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So how am I going to get up and take on another day? Well, he told us the secret. He revealed it to us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're to pour our heart out before the Lord, and he will answer us. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, right? He's the rock who is higher than I. Well, the application for these verses is beyond measure. I think you could probably write a whole book just for the applications of these verses. There's only a couple of them there, but I don't think we could ever plumb the depths of them, to be honest with you. Every time I go back to them, they're like a prism. You just keep turning them. You see something new and something new there. Because we can't ever plumb the depths of Christ, can we? But you may ask for moms and dads, you know, how can I care for my special needs child again today? Or how can I raise up godly children in a godly, ungodly world? How can I do these things every day? It's overwhelming. In Christ, right? How can I live another day with this ailment that depletes my energy? How can I live another day with that thorn in my side? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can I live another day married to an unbeliever? How can I love my wife as Christ loved the church when she doesn't respect me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can I submit to my husband who's not showing himself to be the head of the household? How can I go to my job again that causes me anxiety? How can I continue to care for my loved ones whose mind is fading away? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can you care for the loved one who's dying or hurt? The one who used to be my strength has now become dependent upon me. How can I care for him or her? The load seems overwhelming, and life's problems are washing over us constantly. But we're not to look at the circumstances. We cry out, Lord, help me. That's what we do. We go to him in prayer, and he strengthens us. He infuses us with strength in the midst of each one of these difficulties. How can I face my own death? I'm sure some of us have asked ourselves that. I mean, the Apostle Paul, what if I had to suffer, you know, to be martyred? There's a book called Martyr's Grace. And that one's interesting. It shows how different people, not a happy book, but it does show how there's a special grace. God gives us grace upon grace upon grace for every circumstances. So what if I have to face martyrdom like Paul? How do I do that? Well, Christ strengthens me. What if Ebola comes knocking at your front door? What am I going to do? How can I face that? Well, again, we cry out, Lord, help me. This is too much for me to bear, isn't it? It's a recognition of our weaknesses. Contentment is not found in the circumstance, but in Christ. Satisfaction is found in God alone, right? Not in the circumstances. So we must put into practice now what we've learned from the Apostle Paul. This is something he learned. It's something we learned. It's something he put into practice, and we need to put it into practice. The Lord is our satisfaction. He is sufficient to meet our every single need, everything. The Lord is our source of contentment, and he's the one who enables us to do all things. He enables us even to do God's will, even when it's difficult. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Christians must not look to the circumstances to find contentment, but to Christ. And when we're weak, then we are strengthened by him. Our humbling circumstances actually cause us to run to Christ. That's what they do. It causes us to run to Christ, the fountain of life, the fountain of strength. And that's where we find our strength for every circumstance, not in the circumstance itself. Well, lastly, if you turn with me to the book of Habakkuk 3:17. Habakkuk 3:17. 18 and 19. I'll just quickly read this. We're coming to a close. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. So there you have, in the midst of all this taking place around him, and he has nothing. He doesn't find his joy or contentment in the circumstances or in the things of this world that are seen, but he puts his faith and hope in the unseen, and in God. He's his strength. So the secret to Christian contentment is find your contentment in Christ, not in the circumstances. And then as the song goes, when the psalm that we sing anyway, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, right? It is well with my soul. Well, I hope that's profitable to you and that you put it into practice. Christ is where we find our contentment. That's Christian contentment, not the circumstances, because the circumstances are never going to change. We're going to face trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation. Some of us will never get out of the trials we're facing. So this has a broad application. Let's pray. And Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this. the secret that you revealed to us. Lord, it's something that we, each and every one of us, have our own difficulties, our own trials and tribulations in this life, Lord. And none of these are trivial to you. You care about each and every one of these difficulties we face, Lord, because you love us. We're your children. You've saved us and you've given us your Son. And you'll give us everything we need. And it's in him you've given us the strength to endure through each and every circumstance, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for life and breath and everything that you've given us. Lord, help us to not look to ourselves, because there we'll find nothing helpful in our time of affliction, Lord. But help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and find our strength in him. He's the one who enables us. He's the one who strengthens us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.